Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, the spot's not as close to the sticks as I thought it was. It's almost a full yard.
Jim, get two of the strongest, three of the strongest guys in two. Got to get out on the edge.
The throw for it. DJ Moore. Oh, and Luvu able to push it back after St. Juice made the first contact. What a stop by the Commanders. Oh, you thought DJ Moore might be able to figure out a way to fight for the yard, but they closed in on him. Luvu was there first.
They're going to run this smoke because he's so far off, but watch Luvu right here. This is the effort and the commitment it takes to be a championship-style team, and Luvu takes off running. You got to get to the ball. They call it loafs if you're not flying to the ball. See everyone flying to the ball? That's why this team is coming on their extra effort.
Speaks, you asked, what happened to the loafs?
They're getting called out for Washington. Dude, the quotes that keep, like, coming out from other players commenting on the situation, they're just getting more and more volatile. You seeing some of this stuff as it crosses?
Give us an example, Speaks. What are we talking about here?
Cole Kmet apparently saying that players need to respect the game. Need to learn how to respect the game.
He's right.
Calling out players for laying off sometimes during practice. And that's why I said to you during the break, what happened to loafs? I thought loafs were a bad thing. Loafs now is only what Shane Reardon is churning out, 19, 20 a week. Fakashas, man. Flying off the Reardon family shelves.
That deserved a rim
shot.
Yes, but
it
that's
did.
Okay.
There are no loafs at Rod Marinelli's daughter's restaurant in Las Vegas. Not a single loaf is available.
Maybe we look back on all of this, and it's good that there's so much honesty that's coming out of the Bears locker room. I do think that the honesty is a little concerning. And I also love it because this is what we do for a living, and you kind of want to know that guys are seeing some of the same stuff. And look, we've got Jalen Johnson on at 5 o'clock. I expect him to be very honest about some of this stuff. And
yes.
He'll give us some insight into all of this. But yeah, this is what it looks like before things go really badly. from my experience.
Oh God.
I don't want to make this a universal thing, but from my experience, this is what it looks like before it all goes to heck.
I don't want to catastrophize, but that loss and what happens after it will have the power to define your season. It just will. And what happens after it is key. And we'll carve out time to talk about Tyreek and the blame and what you need to do.
My hope, and I want to be clear about this, my hope is that we might be in a new age where all of this honesty is taken and it's good and it turns into change. That's my hope. My experience has been, this is the beginning of the thing where the guys are going to be doing this stuff and then it ends up bad.
Well, that's a larger, like, human therapeutic evolution kind of conversation, which you and I are prone to sometimes in terms of, like, if they can all hear this stuff and get real about it and have genuine accountability and genuine change, then it can be a good thing. But too often, people and their nature gets in the way and doesn't truly allow for that kind of thing. But yeah, just, you know, big issues that end up getting discussed. Meanwhile, on the offensive side, that was so unbelievably disappointing and maddening to see the first three quarters of that game. They are now 3-for-18 on third down in the first quarter for over the course of the entire season. They have one touchdown drive all year in the first quarter, a 7-play, 70-yard drive to DJ Moore that did not have a third down on it. That's the only touchdown drive they have all year. They were bad again from the get-go. And there were so many moments where it looked again like Shane Waldron is a play collector and that things were not connected to each other. You know, where like runs are going outside and then going the other direction, but things are not matching up like they actually belong together, going through the Rolodex of run plays. And there was also just so many moments of freaking cute. Look at me and look how cute I am with all this stuff. We mentioned a couple in transition, the back-to-back quarterback draws in the fourth quarter before the pass interference call that gets bailed out, that Keenan gets bailed out, that sets up first and goal. All the fake screen timing stuff that has looked good at times looked chaotic yesterday, harder to do on the road. And that's part of the issue, is that the snap count is different on the road and things just didn't hold together. Caleb's performance is certainly part of the issue as well.
And the injuries and the ineffectiveness of your offensive line.
Yeah, yes, for sure. But the cuteness of giving the ball to Doug Kramer on the goal line when you're down five in the fourth quarter, that is a look at me. I dreamed it up. It was time to try it. No matter what, the situation does not call for that. Due respect to Doug, and I get that that's in there and it's part of that design of
Unplug the mini fridge.
Yeah, whoa! What did he say? Screw that guy.
Unplug the mini fridge.
No. No, you don't unplug. I checked in on the mini fridge, by the way. He's very sad. He's despondent today.
Is that because his door flew open and all of the stuff came out?
Everything came out. Tanny had yogurts in there. It all just came flooding out. Everything that's in there. But way too much cuteness from Shane Waldron. Didn't you feel that way?
Yes, I did. And again, this is one of those things where I will hold the head coach accountable for it, because he should be able to hear in his headset what the play call is. And all he has to do is click the button and go, no, guys, I want to run it with Roshan here. How long did that take? That took 2 seconds. I want to run it with Roshan here. That's all. It's all you have to say. You don't have to come up with the actual play call. You just tell your OC knows what the play call is to give the ball to Roshan in that situation. Or DeAndre Swift, if he was in the personnel grouping. That's all you have to do.
That quick a veto, and they won't have to call the timeout. Might have had to burn one of the three timeouts, and we'd be freaking out that they burned one of their three timeouts. But that's
play,
better.
You hear that play call going, guys, I want to run it with Roshan. Okay. And it can be the same play. Now you're just Doug's the lead.
Same formation.
Sure. You're the lead on this. Roshan's getting the ball. And that's where I'm like, come on, man. Like, you've got to do something. You've got to know that this is too cute by half. I get that you drilled it. I do feel bad for Doug, but that's a play you call up 10.
Yes.
Not chasing five.
That's a play you call up 25 in the Super Bowl. You know, it's a play where you enjoy yourself. Or if you're the Detroit Lions. And
you're rolling. And you're scoring 50 every week on people.
You're scoring 50 with less than 100 yards passing.
Yeah.
Jared Goff had a chance to have four straight games of a quarterback rating of 140 or better. And he fell short simply because the yardage wasn't enough. He didn't throw a pick. He threw three touchdowns. The completion percentage was very high, but he didn't have enough yardage to get the quarterback rating where it needed to go, which shows you how absurd that stat is.
And how stacked that team is overall.
Incredible.
Let's figure out what some of the issues with the offense were. Kurt Warner is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from Caleb and this offense next. Spiegel and Holmes talking Bears with you till 6 on The Score.